Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, and also Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Get your notepads out. You're going to have to listen in a hurry and receive in a hurry. I think the lights just went dark up here. Oh, thank you. Boy, these folks are amazing with what they do, aren't they? They're amazing. Just give them a good God bless you. They're amazing. I want you to be here next Sunday. I have some things that I want to share with you that I just think are going to make you just go happy crazy. Get ready, folks. God will be glorified. He is being glorified. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. I love it when you say it out loud because it makes the devil soil himself. So let's read this out loud together. It's on the screens. If you don't have a Bible, you ready? Here we go. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given me great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable me to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Do you know one of the human corruptions? You know what it is? It's lack of direction, confusion, not knowing what to do. Last week we talked about wisdom, but I want you to know there's a promise from God, no matter what you're going through, that he will give you divine guidance. No missteps, but divine guidance. And here's the promise. Ready? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. In fact, I'd like for you to say it out loud so you'll just continue to talk to yourself about this. Whatever you're going through right now, boy, the songs have been powerful. The words have been powerful. Everything is just striking right on here today. Have me say amen to that. Striking right on. So I want you to read this word out loud for you. Here we go. Ready? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Here it is. And he shall direct your paths. Look at the person beside you and say, wherever he leads, I will follow. Come on, aim to tell me, wherever he leads, I'll follow. One of the biggest questions I think I get asked the most, and I bet most pastors are this, and probably in your small group, the biggest question I get asked over and over is, what do you think the will of God is in this matter? Almost every time people are asking me, I don't know what the will of God is. I'm not sure what the will of God is. And some people say, if God would just tell me, send me a text, or just talk to me, just give me an audible voice. I used to pray for audible voices. I used to pray for them because some people do have audible voices. I think there was a time when I was 9 years old that the impression was so strong and it came at the weirdest moment that I actually thought I heard the voice of God when I was 9 years old. It was at the weirdest time, and it was about being a man that would preach the gospel. I was 9 years of age. It was so strong, and almost, I really thought it was almost audible that I turned around to look, and it was crazy. I was throwing a dirt clod at my neighbor. I'm serious. We were in a war. It was the craziest thing. And now as I got older, and I just kept on going. But you know, some people say, well, that's what I want. Well, you know, it was such a strong impression. It felt like it to me, but I'm cool with not getting audible voices, because when I study the Bible, I've always noticed that people who got audible voices from God usually suffered greatly after they had that audible voice. Go study it. They suffered greatly because God knew they would need that to endure the hell that Satan would throw at them. So the older I get, I am cool without an audible voice. Some people say, I just want, you know, the people are really trying to find this. Maybe you're trying to find it about what you're trying to decide career path-wise. And then, or some people do like the old Moravian way of doing business. What they would do is they would take their Bible and they would just flip through it and then drop their finger on a place. And then that's what they would take as the will of God. It's kind of spiritual roulette, you know? I mean, you could be offended, like somebody did something wrong to you. You'd be offended and you go, oh, Lord, lead me, lead me, lead me, Lord, lead me, Lord, lead me, Lord, lead me, Lord. Second Samuel. We're good there, Samuel. 16:9. And Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over now and cut off his head." And some of you are so offended going, "That'll work. Yeah, that's the will of God. That's the will of God." I am telling you that you are overcomplicating. You and I are overcomplicating this when it comes to the divine. Listen, if you share in his divine nature, God is not confused about you, where you are, what he's doing. He's not confused. He's not confused what he's doing in this country. He's not confused one bit. Or the nation. He is not confused. Get it? He's not confused. The world is confused. And his divine nature is in you as a child of God. There should be no confusion. Because when I see the guidance of God in my life or the will of God in my life, I compare it, you've heard me say this before, like a scroll. Too many of us want a book. We want to go to chapter 12. Boom, there it is. I'm married, got 6 children. Nope, only want 2. White picket fence, nice subdivision, and we all live happily ever after and have a lake home. I'll take it. Come on, amen. You take it, wouldn't you? But the will of God has not been that for me. It's like a scroll where it unrolls and I get a piece here and there. And through it, God gives me divine guidance. And living Proverbs, listen, when you live Proverbs, this promise, come hell or high water, if you live this promise of Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, it unrolls the guidance of God. Well, you will watch. The guidance of God unrolls like a scroll. It is amazing in your life. But how many want that guidance? How many want that kind of divine nature guidance from God? So here's the deal. What I am discovering about the promises of God, come hell or high water, no matter what we're going through, is that I want to live the promise, but I also must follow the prerequisite for the release of that promise. If I want the promise, come hell or high water, then I must align myself and follow the prerequisite. Okay, he's going to direct my path, but don't forget the rest of verse 5 and 6. Don't forget the rest of it, because that is the prerequisite that gives the divine guidance, the divine nature that is in you that you share in, so you can have that promise. So I want to just look at that real quick. So let's look at it. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, and let me just show you 4 verbs that are so powerful, that are so powerful to releasing the path of God. Here it is. Number 1. First of all, trust. Everybody say trust. Okay, it says trust in the Lord with what part of your heart? So here's the deal. Are you trusting totally and completely with what's happening right now in your life? The financial setback, the bankruptcy, the divorce, the separation, the loss of job, someone rejected you, what a doctor's prognosis is, are you completely trusting? He says, trust in the, if you want the path, the guidance, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, when you see this word trust, it's really interesting to see this word trust, but the word trust there in the Hebrew literally means to lie helpless, to stretch out on. To lie helpless, to stretch out on. Look at that, really, really good. One of the word pictures of it was like a picture of a servant that's waiting for his master, just waiting for his command with readiness to obey what he says. But that word literally means to lie helpless, to stretch out on. Let me ask you a question. How many got a good night's sleep last night? Okay, you're the loud ones today, huh? Now, how did you get that good night's sleep? It literally means to trust in the Lord. It means to lie down, to stretch out. Now, I want to show you how I slept last night. My bed is much more comfortable than this platform, but let me illustrate it here. It's the best thing I got right now. To stretch out on. I took all my weight last night, and I looked at my bed, and I go, I'm not sure I should lay down, because I don't think you'll hold me up. this is how I did not sleep last night. With half of my body on the bed because I didn't trust the bed would hold me up. I did not have one leg like this going, man, I sure hope this bed holds me tonight. Man, I tell you what, I adjusted the pressure in it, the sleep number, and if only this bed would vibrate, I'd sleep better. I don't trust this bed. If I slept like that last night, you would have a horrible sermon. You think my eyes look Asian now? Just think if I wouldn't have got a good night's sleep. I could barely open them. The reason why I am refreshed tonight is because I took all of my weight, completely trusted the bed, and stretched out and lied helpless on the bed, knowing that it would hold me and sustain me. I did not sleep with one leg out, thinking this bed could fall. But some of us are so spiritually tired because you really haven't put your son, who's bound by a sin, completely on that bed, completely at the cross. You still got one leg out saying, I'm not sure, God, and you're worrying, you're fretting. When it comes to your money, you really haven't put all your trust in what God says about managing your money and tithing. You've held back some of the giving to God because you still got one leg out. And you say, oh, I love the Lord and I trust him, but you still got one leg out. But that's why you're so frustrated in your money and you're not sleeping. Whatever it comes to, your health, whatever it comes to, your business, your company, there's some of you stressed out over this nation. Now, I'm not telling you that you sit back and you just, no. Everybody's got an opinion, but you got one leg out about this country and you are so stressed out, you can't even sleep when you watch the news. He says, he makes me to lie down to sleep. Yeah, some of us are sleeping with one leg out, but here's what that scripture says. That scripture simply says this one thing. It says, trust in the Lord. Come on, read it again. It says, trust in the Lord with what? All your, come on, put that up on the screen, guys. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Don't just put my salvation and I got eternal life. No, why don't you put your kids on there? Why don't you put your sickness on there? Why don't you put your money on there? Why don't you put the mental torment on there? Why don't you put what they did to reject you on there? Why don't you put your offense and your anger and put every bit of it so you'll start walking in peace and in sleep by trusting in the Lord with all your heart and lay down on that bed and go to sleep and put it on Jesus. How we doing? Everybody say trust. What does it mean to lie helpless and to stretch out? But you're never going to get rest on this subject if you're still ticked off at him with one leg out. You can speak in tongues all you want. You can prophesy all you want. But until you lay every bit of your weight of that problem on him, you will constantly be stressed. So what I'm going to do, just keep trusting. Keep trusting. Every priest, all of your heart, all of your heart, all of your heart. Number one verb, come on, everybody say trust. Lay it all down, okay? Now let's go to the next word, lean. Everybody say lean. Mm-hmm. But let me show you the kind of way you don't want to lean. He says, lean not. Let's go to verse 5 again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not. Lean not. Can we say it again? Lean not to your own understanding. This doesn't mean, I don't know why people think that, you know, Christians, they're just so deluded and they just act like things don't exist. I think the more you become a Jesus follower, you think more, not less. In fact, some people think you become heartless. Jesus became a man of sorrows. That means he went into the pain of people. He felt the feelings of our infirmity. I think the more you get closer to Jesus is you don't get more desensitized. You get more empathetic. You go deeper into the pain with people to help show them a way out. But he says, you can't lean to your own understanding. You can't. This doesn't mean that you turn off your brain and you ignore common sense. I think some people think that. What this is saying is don't go back to trusting your reasoning, your intelligence, your thoughts, to be the sole guiding principle for what's going on in your life. Or other people's intelligence, other people's reasoning, and other people's thoughts, because sometimes your faith finally rises when you talk to them, but not when you talk to God. That means what I'm doing is I'm either trusting in my own, I'm leaning on my own understanding, my own reasoning, my own power, my own ability. He says, sure, you've got common sense, but don't you dare lean on yours as the sole guiding principle in this matter. You totally rest in God and what God says, because when I lean on my own understanding of things, I can tell you, I've asked my wife, asked our executive leaders, when I've gone to my own understanding, it is always headed for disaster. It has let me down every single time. And I wish I could learn. Men of God in the Bible didn't learn this when you lean to your own understanding. I mean, just look at Joshua chapter 7. You remember Joshua, man, they take down the walls of Jericho more and they're taking all the plunder for God. He says, let's go to this little town, Ai. We can whip it. Just send a few men. We got this covered. Guess what happens? He attacks Ai. He doesn't consult God. He goes by his own standard, his own ability of battle strategy. What happens to him? He gets whipped by a little town of Ai. I mean, look what happens in 1 Chronicles chapter 21 when David, his success, he gets higher and higher and higher, and he goes to his own understanding, and guess what he begins to do? He goes and does a census and takes account of the people, and you can study why that was so wrong, but he takes account of the people because he wanted to lean to his own power, his own strength, and it got him in disaster every time. Lean, but lean not to your understanding or others' understanding. Lean totally on God's guiding principle at the end of the day that you lay on and go to sleep. Lean not to your, oh, how many thank God for these new GPSs on our phones and everything? I'm telling you, just, it's amazing. It's, no, all the wives are saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you ever driven with someone or guys, you've driven without the GPS and you wanted to lean on your own understanding for directions? I've been down this road before. I was a kid. I've been down this road many, many times. Oh, da, da, da. Well, you know what? God gave us this GPS. It's driven by a satellite, which is higher thinking than your thinking. In fact, the satellite is live tracking things you don't see because it has a perspective that you do not see. But oh, not you. We don't need that, baby. I know the way down this road. I'm gonna lean to my own understanding. But what you didn't realize is that there's a satellite that has a higher perspective that is live tracking the situation that you cannot see, and it's telling you, exit, please take the exit now. Please take, oh no, no, take the exit now. I've been down this many times. I know exactly, I know this place. It's gonna take us 30 minutes. We're gonna be right down there. Sure enough, what the higher satellite saw was that there was a traffic jam up there. And they know that there's a construction project up there that you have never seen before, and it's going on right now, and it's deviating you. But you, oh no, you wanna lean to your own understanding. It's gonna take you longer. And you may never get there because you know your own understanding. You got it together. And don't you just love that kind little voice that's that higher view of the satellite? And she speaks to you in such nice languages. You don't just get it in a language that you're accustomed to. But you can get it in English, and she can give it to you in an English accent, you know. And you exit now. You can get it in Spanish. You can get it in, you can get any language you want to get it into. And it tells you just to keep going, just to keep going. See, God will get it to you in the best way that you can understand it, the most gentle voice. But oh, not you, not you, not you. You're going to lean to your own understanding because you've got another 2 hours to burn. And let me tell you what happens when I've done that. After I have repented, and I've asked the GPS and the satellite to please forgive me, you know what? I've stopped rebelling, and I started to listen to that satellite voice that tells me this is where you need to go, this is the way, walk ye in it. I have discovered my life gets a little bit better, life gets a little more easier because I'm not leaning to my own understanding. But how many of us are right now, well, I've done a business before, I know how to do this, I've done this and I can do this, and you are not winning this time. Why? Because God says, if you really want to get my guidance, don't lean to your own knowledge, your own intellect, your own understanding, or that of other people. See what I have to say and let that be the guiding principle of your life. So what are we going to do? We're going to lean not. You want God's path? Don't lean on your own understanding. Here's the next thing. I love this. Acknowledge. Everybody say acknowledge. Here's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Now watch this. In how many ways? In all your ways, acknowledge him. And I know this is not just give mental assent. This is not just to say, God, I know you're there. This is something much deeper. The word know there in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word yada, Y-A-D-A-H. But it means to know, to recognize, to see God in it, to know God. It means known is what it means. That word knowledge actually means to be known or to know. But if you'll break down that word yada, and just stay with me, don't leave me, don't turn off your computer. If you'll study that word yada, you will discover it is a deeply intimate word. In fact, it is the same word used there, acknowledge or to know, yada, is the same word that was used in Genesis chapter 4 when the Bible says that Adam knew Eve, same word, knew Eve, and his wife, make sure you know it's his wife, Adam knew Eve and she conceived, she got pregnant. She didn't get pregnant while him over there thinking, I know her, she loves pink. She doesn't like the orangutan, she loves the giraffe. It's not that kind of knowledge. That word know there literally is the word yada, which also is the sexual connection between a husband and a wife to produce something that was never there before. It literally means intercourse. That's what he said. There's this deep, deep intimacy that is so deep, he knows every detail, she knows every detail of him. That is the term, and that is the Hebrew meaning behind that word. You still with me? Some of your eyes this big around right now. What are you saying to me, Pastor Sam? This is not talking about in a sexual way, but what this is talking about is God says the depth of my relationship goes far beyond any physical expression between a husband and a wife. This is that you know me so well, you know every detail, that you know exactly what I like, you know exactly the direction that I'm going to take. What God wants is he wants to be deeply involved, intimately involved in every single decision you are making. The purchase of a home, the person you ought to date, the people you ought to get involved with. He wants every little detail is so important. What classes should I take this year at college? What should I do? The Holy Spirit says, this is how deeply I want to be involved in your life, so intimately that you know exactly the path. There's a similar scripture to Proverbs 3:6. It's Psalm 37, verse 4. It says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Do you know why some of us don't have his heart's desire? We're asking with the wrong motives. We don't know him. We're not intimately involved and connected with him every single day. And that word delight in the Hebrew literally means to live in, to enjoy, and to drink deeply. To drink deeply of him in every issue. Now, here's how I used to be. Now, I've been raised in church my whole life, but here's what I used to think. Here's what I used to believe. I used to believe if I did what God wants, then he's going to give Sam Reifkogel what he wants. But if Sam Reifkogel doesn't perform like he wants, he will not give Sam Reifkogel what he wants. That is the thinking of most Christians. But here's what happened to me and the Lord. I discovered there were times, many times, I have fallen short of what he desired of me. And yet he keeps on gently correcting me and blessing me when I didn't deserve it. So I thought, wait a minute. Sometimes I'm getting stuff I know I don't deserve. And he's trying to show me something. Sam, I want to show you something. This is not about you performing for me. Most of us as Christians think if I'll do what he wants, he'll give me what I want. And what I discovered was, it's taken me a long time, is I just wanted to be with him. I just want to be with you. I enjoy being with you. I love your sense of humor when you talk to me. I love God. I enjoy doing things that please you. You know, I don't get up every morning and look at Brenda and say, I wonder what I can do to tick her off today. How can I offend Brenda today? Brenda and I are at such a deep level of intimacy that I'm trying to find a way How can I please her? What do I have in my bank account that I can bless her with? What is it that she desires? What trip? What is on her bucket list? How can I do? How can I treat her in front of people that elevates her instead of demeans her? I want to know about these things. And I'm going to tell you something. It takes the relationships higher and higher and higher and higher. Now where the things that I used to think was important aren't as important to me, I get a big kick out of watching her be blessed. He's saying you can get to a place where you are so intimately involved with God in every single detail that it's now not about what can I do so I can get what I want. I just want to be with him. I want to enjoy him. I want to please him. And guess what? The Holy Spirit starts implanting in me the desires that he wants to fulfill in me so my life can be fulfilled and his glory can be seen. Now I'm finding myself doing things that he planted in me and I'm getting a kick out of doing them. Delight yourself in the Lord. Acknowledge him in your worship. So acknowledge him. So when you worship, when you study your word, it's like, I got to study my word so I can show God that I'm doing good. I got to tithe so I can make sure that my bills get paid. Listen, friends, don't live in that kind of place where I do what he wants to perform so I can get it. Get in the place where it's so deep that, boy, you start getting revelations of him. You start getting uncommon peace. You start getting uncommon direction. Why? Because his divine nature is in you. Wow. And look, if we will begin to acknowledge him, if we'll begin to lean on him, if we'll begin to trust him and lay flat on that bed and quit sleeping with one leg out on this issue, your back's hurting, your spiritual back's hurting. You can't carry the weight. Here's what happens. Let's read it out loud together. Come on, ready? Let's do this scripture together. Ready? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. He will direct your path. He'll give it to you a lot of ways. He'll give it to you a lot of ways. Some of you are just looking for this ethereal voice. You're looking for all this, woo, and it may happen to you that way, but I'm gonna tell you, the Lord leads me, just unfolds it. Unfolds it. And you know how he's usually direction? You know his direction comes through? So simple. How many know his direction comes through his word? The primary way that God directs your life is through his word. So if you're not in the word, you're gonna make a lot of mistakes. And here's what it, because I see people, no, here's what it is. So I tell somebody comes and says, well, I'm supposed to do this, and I said, well, here's what the word says. Yeah, but I feel in my spirit. And then their voice gets, you know, when I was praying, I felt, and it's totally contrary to the word of God. Here's what I know about the word of God. What I know is God's direction never contradicts God's instruction. Never, ever, ever, ever does his direction contradict his instruction. So when somebody tells me, the Lord told me, well, dare I argue with Jehovah if he told you that, but it's totally contrary to the word. But here's what the word says. And here's what I know, 95% of God's will for your life is already in the Word of God, if you'll look at it. Most of the things you're asking for, 95% of it's already in the Word of God. Right now, if you just read His Word and get direction from His Word. And the other 5% that you're uncertain by, I promise you, the other 5% has always been guided by the 95% that I already knew. I'm gonna say it again. My whole life of serving God, 95% of the will of God for my life and every decision has been already in the Word of God, not needing to have a prophet to come tell me something. I love prophets. And the other 5% that I didn't know about was always guided by the 95% that I knew, because God's direction never contradicts his instruction. Selah. Good word. God's direction comes through the Holy Spirit. Last week we already talked about that. But look what Jesus said. He says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate who will help you and never leave you. Are you hearing this, friends? It means that word advocate means he's a counselor, he's a comforter, he's a helper, and he's always there. The more you get in that place of delighting in the Lord, the Holy Spirit starts revealing the divine nature of not God's only wisdom, but you get God's divine nature of his direction, his guidance. It's a promise from God. You know the way you get direction from God? You get direction through godly counsel. I have discovered there are smarter people around than Sam Reifkogel. Isn't that amazing? Your parents might actually have some ideas that will work. That's the weakest amen I've ever heard from this crowd, amen. But I love what Proverbs 11:14 says. It says, where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in the abundance of counselors, there is victory. When you walk with people who are walking with God, that's who I want to be around. Two ways of disaster: taking nobody's advice and taking everybody's advice. You just better make sure you're getting the wise counsel around you, because in it you're going to find victory. There's a lot of ways. And there's so many of us that are looking for God's direction, but here's the promise. I want to hang out with people too that have been through fire and said, Sam, we've been through that same fire, and if God brought us out, he'll bring us out. I want people who've been flooded with tragedy, who've been flooded with pain, and they said, God brought me through, he'll bring you through. His word has never changed. That's the people you want to be with. You'll get direction from God. I love this last promise. Come on, let's read it out loud again. We're going to close with the promise. Here we go. Ready? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. You know what I love about that word direct? That word direct there literally means to be straightened, to smooth out, to cut a highway is what that word directs. To cut a highway. Folks, to cut a highway or to clear a path. He says, here's what to do. And he will straighten out your crooked path. He will make smooth all the rough spots. He'll begin to cut a highway if you listen to him, and he'll make a clear path. Do you hear what he's saying? That when God is leading and I'm following, the mountains are going to melt in front of me. When God's leading and I'm following, every valley that is deep is going to be filled, and he'll make a bridge. When he's leading and I'm following, every crooked path that I'm saying, God, I don't know where to go, confusion, he says, I'm going to make it straightened for you. He says, if I'm leading and you're following, every rough place you're on right now, Sam, he said, I'll be making smooth. He says, if I'm leading and you're following, every door that's been slammed in your face, I'll open up another door of victory over here for you. He's saying, Sam, where every wall is up in front of you, as long as you let me lead and you're following, every wall that is in front of you is going to fall down. Are you hearing this? If you'll let him lead and you'll follow, every poverty issue you have will turn to prosperity in God. He's saying, if you'll allow me to lead and you'll follow, he says, I'll take sickness and I'll turn it into healing. He says, I'm going to take every place if you'll lead. If you let me lead and I follow, you follow, he says, I'm going to take every situation in your home that seems chaotic, and I'm going to bring peace to the situation. Amen. What he's asking you is this: if you want my guidance, will you please put it to bed? Would you put the issue to bed and not sleep with one leg out? You're not getting any rest on this issue. And would you not lean to your own way of trying to fix it? I'm not telling you to check your brains at the door. I'm telling you to let me be the ultimate guiding principle in this whole issue. I said, and acknowledge me. Don't pray that you can just be remove the problem. Pray that I'll speak to you about you and me. And watch me cut a highway through a mountain in your life and make it straight where things seem crooked. How many thank God he's got us? Amen. He's got us. He's got us. He's got us. He's got us. He's got us.